The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution is sponsored by Burger King, Bahamas Bus and Truck, J.S. Johnson, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Ron's Electric Motors, Commonwealth Bank, and Popeyes.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I do hope that you had an enjoyable weekend. I hope Mother's Day was good for those of you who still have your mothers with you, and I hope that it was good for those of you who found a way to make Mother's Day memorable and still honor those mothers in your life and who have been in your life in any event, all right? Mother's Day for me, we try to focus on making sure my wife had the best Mother's Day she could possibly have. And therefore, we found quite a bit of comfort in that, even though it was still very rough not having my mother with me for the very first Mother's Day. Now, we're going to today do a couple of things. So today's special for two reasons. One, it's the anniversary of the sinking of the HMBS Flamingo. That happened May 10th, 82, I believe it was, and I could not possibly bring any more clarity, detail, explanation to it than Leif and Miller has done for the past week or so. So I won't even attempt to try, but I do salute those fallen heroes of the HMBS Flamingo and those who survive. We want to honor them and treat them with the dignity that they deserve. Okay? Now, was it 82 or 80, Kermie? 1980. All right. And treat them with the dignity they deserve, for sure. We do have a monument, but we've given them honors, but I still think that you could have at least a national day of remembrance, if not a national holiday. Mm-hmm. But they did have a thing out by the Defense Force base this morning, so of course they... Oh, someone said these are the names. I'll read the names of the people on the... But then we'll do the other thing that's to do with May 10th. The commanding officer, Lieutenant Commander Amos Rowell, legend. He died recently, Exuma man. Sub-Lieutenant Anthony Allen, Sub-Lieutenant Wilfred Sands. He is... is Amos Rowell deceased? I thought Amos Rowell was deceased. I don't want to kill the man if he's not. Yep, he died in Exuma, I am pretty sure. But I don't want his family calling me. Sub-Lieutenant, yes, Amos Rowell died in Exuma a couple of years ago, I'm pretty sure. I remember that distinctly because he was hailed very much so, very humble gentleman as well. Sub-Lieutenant Anthony Allen, Sub-Lieutenant Wilfred Sands, he's deceased. Petty Officer Peterson James, Leading Mechanic Denzel Clark, Leading Mechanic Gregory Curry, Leading Mechanic Oscar Miller, who's deceased. Leading Seaman Willard Saunders, Able Seaman Trevor Sands, Marine Seaman, Whitfield Neely is still out there kicking. Marine Seaman, Anthony Russell. Marine Seaman, Leo Kirby. Marine Seaman, John Wallace. Marine Seaman, Cladwell Farrington. Marine Mechanic, Eugene Thompson. Died in the line of duty. Able Seaman, Fenric Stirrup. Able Seaman, Fenric Stirrup. Marine Seaman David Tucker, Marine Seaman Austin Smith, and Marine Seaman Edward Williams. All right? We remember them, and we hail their bravery and their sacrifice on this day. Now, May 10th is also a day of significance, and I don't know why they did this last lap, Christy, but what's done is done. But they decided to hold the general election on May 10th, 2017. Yeah? And it's 4 years ago, and so what better time than now to kind of go through what the Minnis administration has done that you like and has done that you don't like or you thought they could do better. I want you to assess them, right? So, Anton, you with your long historical litany of grievances, are feel free to list them if you like today. People who think that the FNM's done a good job, go ahead and call. People who think they've done okay, they've a bet. You think they've done certain things well, certain things bad, you can do that. You can assess them. Let's do that. 422-4796, 422-4796. But before that, but you can text your heart out if you'd like. And the phone lines are 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Here's my issue, though, and I'll illustrate for you one issue I have, right? Is that the Minnis administration, been playing a lot of games. Right? Now, here's what I mean, right? But I don't like people to play games with me. All right? When you lead in my country, I don't like slapping up. You dig? So we had a minister of finance in Peter Turnquest who was eminently qualified. You could agree with some of the things he did, disagree with some of his things. I certainly didn't share his philosophy of at all costs balancing the budget with these aggressive timelines that proved to be, you know, too aggressive in retrospect if you look at the shocks that occurred, right? Now, but one thing I would never say about Peter Turnquest is that he didn't understand his job, is that he didn't understand his own strategy, is that he didn't understand his ministry, he didn't understand the lay of the land. So we had Peter Turnquest resign over his implication in a lawsuit. He wasn't sued, he was just named in a suit as being party to some alleged fraud. And Peter Turnquest resigned, and I agonized over whether he should at the time, and I finally came to the conclusion that probably it would be best if he did in order to not have it serve as a distraction in such a serious time as this. And here's where I was critically wrong in one aspect of my thinking about that. My thinking was that someone as qualified as Turnquest, or even more so, would have been selected to replace him. And Jesus on the cross, was I wrong? So what happened was, after the Minnis administration, after Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis assured us that he would not be staying in the Ministry of Finance, he then goes and appoints himself Minister of Finance. No experience. He doesn't understand the ministry. None of us is confused about that. That's just what it is, all right? I don't know how to fly a plane. I don't know how to deliver a baby. Dr. Minnis doesn't know anything about the Ministry of Finance other than probably some of the people who work there, right? I said, okay, fine, that's fine. Nah, this can work, right? Ingram was Minister of Finance. He had some experience dealing with these. He understood. He's a very studious, hardworking person who could grasp finance. So he became Minister of Finance after letting Bill Allen steward that ship for a while. Fair enough. Christie was Minister of Finance. He didn't know that much about it, but okay, fine. He got James Smith in there, eminently qualified individual. He got Alkitas in there. I think Alkitas was Parsec, and then Alkitas was Minister of State, right? And so he surrounded himself with people who knew what was going on, even though he himself may not have had the deepest grasp of it. He also had Baltran Bethel there, who had a wealth of experience with dealing with these matters, yes? So you look at Minnis, you go, okay, well, I know he doesn't know what he's doing in that regard, but what I'm praying for is he's going to put people there who are eminently qualified, given that you already have a Wendy Craig, right, former central bank governor, she's in the Ministry of Finance as a consultant. You're like, well, how, you know what I mean? She's clearly not going to let them screw up too badly, right? Although it's ultimately not up to her. And then we saw Minnis strangely put Kwesi Thompson as Minister of State for Finance. And then my confidence in the leadership of the Ministry of Finance shrank. Not because Kwesi Thompson isn't a swell guy, right? And he makes a mean barbecue, right? Not because I have any personal animus toward him, you dig? But just because it's just out of his competence in terms of his experiential knowledge in the middle of a pandemic when government revenue's been slashed by up to 40, some say over 40%, when we're in the middle of extraordinarily tricky negotiations with balancing foreign currency reserves and taking on an extreme level of debt, I had very deep concerns. I know you're trying to call, but I'm making my point, so bear with me here. Because I just want to explain why I don't like playing games, right? So I had deep concerns. And there were those, like, you had a Lang, right? Lang was there with Ingram. Lang's trained economist, studied finance, you know what I mean? MBA. So you had some confidence, right? So if you say, well, Lang's going to do it, you go, fine. If you don't like Lang, BTC sale, 49 is 51, fine. You don't got to like him, but you can't say he don't know what he's doing, right? You can't. I was a journalist when Shivargo Lang was in office. And you would call this man, and if he couldn't tell you off the top of his head, he'd call you back, all right? And let you know exactly what was going on. Or if you were making an assertion that he wasn't sure about, he'd research it and get back to you and tell you that, no, that was not the case, X, Y, Z. Ingram was the same way, right? As much as Ingram would dress you down, if Ingram said, I will call you back and let you know, you, 7 o'clock in the morning, the office of the prime minister can call you and go, please hold for the prime minister, right? Wake you up out your bed. And he'll tell you, McCartney, that's not true. I don't have any comment, all right? And that's it. So Lang said, hey, Kwesi could learn this job, right? He could study, he could learn it, he could figure it out. I don't know if I agree with that. For the past several weeks, we've had press conferences where Kwesi Thompson, he's been tasked with, and why he was put to the Ministry of Finance, I questioned too, because they were like, well, he's going to do Grand Bahama and special projects and digitization. And I'm like, did he got to be in the Ministry of Finance to do that? Can he not just be like in the OPM and do that or something? For last week, we had a press conference, not last week, week before, I believe, talking about a government rollout of some digitized thing, and the government's doing some good things with digitization. I think that's a good thing, even though it's a form of continuous government. It's not that they woke up one morning and go, let's digitize, everybody. And so a reporter asked Kwesi Thompson, firstly, Kwesi, man, I got to call you out, son. It is what it is, right? Firstly, if you are in a press conference with Kwesi Thompson and Marlon Johnson to do with the Ministry of Finance, Marlon Johnson's going to answer the technical financial questions, all right? Even in terms of what the policy is yielding, Marlon won't go on and say, this is XYZ, this is where we intend to go with XYZ policy. If there's a policy in place, Marlon will explain what the policy is and what that perhaps is yielding, but he won't make up government policy. So, first of all, he don't answer questions when you ask him about the portfolio, so I don't know what he's at the press conference for. Then the government recently started doing this thing where they videotape what they call press conferences and then send them out to everybody, but no actual reporters get to ask them any questions. Because, you know, we do have questions, all right? As much for some questions are silly, there are other questions that are very important. So he's having this thing today talking about the rollout of the My Gateway, which is the government new digital payment platform service, right? Yippee. So he's having a press conference. So the press is invited by the Minister of State for Finance to a conference about the My Gateway digital pay system. Fine. But do you think that we have that many probative, deep questions about the My Digital Gateway that are all lined up to ask you questions about it? No, of course not. We want to talk about your portfolio. It's an opportunity to get you, as the Minister of Finance, to speak. You're difficult at times to reach on the phone, right? So, and in all disclosure, this was my wife, but she worked for The Guardian, Paige McCartney, senior business reporter. She asked about the government's plan to repay the level of foreign debt it has taken on, because it's a concern. Yes, the government has taken on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in medium-term foreign debt, most of it, I believe the lengthiest yield would be 12 years. I could be wrong about that, but I'll double check. And the way these loans are structured, it's that after about, they give you a grace period about 3-4 years, and then you have to start paying back the loan in part, right? Principal amounts of the loan you have to start paying back. So in 24, I believe we're going to have to start paying about $250 million a year just to start paying back some of these loans. And for the next few years, that's going to happen. And then you have to pay the lump sum at the end of it, right? Meantime, you're paying the interest. We're dancing on a razor's edge here, right? This ain't no time to not know. So she asked him about government debt. He says, this press conference isn't about that. We're going to be answering that in the coming weeks. And then they kick her out of the virtual press conference. So my thing is, why are we playing? So don't play games with us, right? If you want Crazy Thompson to talk about digitization, go make this man Minister of Government e-platform and digitization, since you want him in your cabinet, and stop playing with us about what's going on at the Ministry of Finance. Now, Nat Benaby is there, purportedly, to help Thompson understand how this all works. I don't know that tutelage has borne fruit as yet. But stop playing with us with this thing. These are serious matters that we're dealing with. This government debt is only going to get paid through our tax dollars, right? You can re-amortize, you can kick the can down the road, you can go take on different sorts of debt, and shuffle and play games and pull from Peter to pay Paul. But at the end of the day, the Bahamian people will ultimately pay for this. Until y'all figure out the whole Aragonite equation, we are going to be paying for all this debt they are borrowing in our name. And if the Minister of State for Finance cannot explain how you plan on repaying this debt, when your strategy said that you would establish a sinking fund for each of these big loans that you undertook, but yet you have stopped putting money into this sinking fund, where's the money coming from? That is a legitimate and serious question. A sinking fund is where you put some money aside every year to pay back the loan when it comes due so that you don't have to go try and scramble and find that money. They've stopped, and possibly rightly so. All right, it's a strategic move. They've stopped putting money in the sinking fund because they just don't have the money to spare. But you're still borrowing heavily. Do I believe you have a choice other than to borrow in this manner? No. Do I believe you owe us at every opportunity an explanation of your strategic moves to handle our sovereign debt? Absolutely. Nobody cares that you don't want to answer questions about government debt, the Minister of State for Finance, because it's a platform to talk about the government's e-pay system. Why don't you quit playing games with us, do a Carl Bethel, record your statement, and let that be that about virtual press conference talking garbage. Okay. I'm happy to take your calls. So what do you think about 4 years in the government, aside from playing games, right? We playing games is what we doing, right? I see now. I ain't got time for games, not when it's my debt, not when I got to pay it back. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, this is Doc Universe, along with you, Juan.
Why the universe, Doc, my brother? What happened?
Because the people are in darkness, lots of them, majority of them.
Okay.
And they make the universe.
Okay.
A couple of things I want to talk to you about. But first I want to say, right? First I want to ask you. You speak of Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Line.
Yeah.
Going in there to work with our finance for the government.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't think a lot of people would agree with that. Because he haven't explain what he meant when he was working with the Ingram, what 49 and 51 is the same. You laugh. Also,
he ain't gonna never live that down.
Say it again?
I said he ain't gonna never live that down.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I ultimately understood what he was saying, though.
You understood what he was saying?
I understood what he was saying, yeah.
But you see, the thing is, the other 2% went someplace else different from what he described it as being 49%.
Well, no, that was Christina who claimed to have done the other 2%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Other thing is, right, I wish that the Thurman Street Clinic, right, would get some new computers. They need computers back, you know, and I wish the Minister for Health and the Prime Minister would work on that.
Thurman Street Clinic, okay.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Take care. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Mr. McCartney, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
Yeah, I have two quick points, right? I mean, Leonard Wells, Quincy Thompson, I mean, at least if you was a minister of the government, you should have an idea of your ministry, right? I mean, out of respect to them, right? But Quincy Thompson is totally lost. I mean, the prime minister doing the country an injustice, you know? Only when you got a man in finance who refused to answer question. That's basic. I mean, that's basic for finance man. And then another thing, right? Ezra Johnson and Diane Enfield. You heard this report about, I'm saying, that's just saying what they're doing is, it's human, right?
But the UN, yeah. I see that, yeah.
Mr. McCartney, tell me if I'm wrong, though. When the hurricane came down, that was a blessing. When the hurricane left Abaco, yeah, with no shanty tongues. So to make a long story short, Ezra Johnson, the Minister for Immigration, Daniel Finn, MP for Alago, they have to explain how these people was allowed to build up there. I mean, because the only person that had access to up there was the police and the defense force, and they was getting orders from the government. So Ezra Johnson and Daniel Enfield, when the government changed, they need to have inquiry and find out how these people was allowed to build up there.
Why? What is Ellsworth? Some of you asked me that too. It's like when he was on your show, why are you not asking about them billing? Like, what is his role in that?
McCartney, Ezra Johnson,
to send the Department of Immigration down there? He must direct Clarence Roll to go send people down there?
Let me answer you, right? Seriously speaking, forget the politics. Abaco, the people in Abaco were saying poachers were the people. I mean, people were bringing people out.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yes.
Immigration officers supposed to be up there to make sure the land's safe. So Ezra Johnson is the Minister of Immigration.
Okay. And he must direct the officers to go down there.
No, Mr. McCartney. This
you under the impression that no immigration officers are on Abaco.
Mr. McCartney, this may say right now, I'm going to set a scorch record. When the hurricane left Abaco, the shanty town was flattened.
Mm-hmm.
How they get up there, Bill? How they get up?
They go on there and Bill.
Pardon me?
They went there and Bill. What do you mean? That's why I'm saying I don't get what you're saying with Johnson. Like, is he supposed to go down there and check it? Like, because last I checked, no, see, but you being political, because you don't want to put the responsibility to where it should be. Because there's police on Abaco, yes?
Mr. McCartney, with all due respect.
There's immigration officers on Abaco, yes?
Abaco.
The Royal Bahamas Defense Force is in Abaco, yes?
McCartney.
Abaco has a local government administrator, yes? Abaco does have two MPs, yes? But you skip all of them and say Ellsworth Johnson must explain, even if purportedly those people are mostly Bahamian.
Mr. McCartney, Ezra Johnson is the Minister of Immigration.
Okay.
Immigration, shanty tongues, come on, immigration, true or false?
False.
All right, then. But to make a long story short, Ezra Johnson is the most incompetent minister right now because he's grandstanding.
Say that. Say you got a problem with Johnson.
Pardon me?
I said, just say you got a problem with Ezra Johnson. Say that, but you can't make the circular argument.
Somebody have to take responsibility for the tongues getting built back. Mm. True or false? Pardon me?
Yes, somebody does, and they're doing that, right?
But he is the Minister of Immigration, and that's the immigration problem.
All right. Well, I don't know if we can get any further with this one, but I appreciate you. All right. I don't, not to the extent that Johnson would have played some role in. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. Maybe it's just me. I don't know what role he plays in that, other than we see that as being solely a problem with Haitians, and anything to do with Haitians, you put at the feet of Ellsworth Johnson? Now, you know what is a good question? And someone asked me this the other day, now that you bring it up. The Shantytown report, right, said 80%, this is what they claim, I see nobody paperwork, right, but 80% of the people living in shantytowns, they say, were Bahamian or had some claim to Bahamian citizenship or status. Yes? 80%, meaning some people may not have a Bahamian passport, but they were born in the Bahamas and they had applied for citizenship, etc. They have papers that say that they are resident in the Bahamas, they have permanent residency. So 80% of them are Bahamian. So they claim. And we don't want them living in the shantytown because the shantytown, correctly, is unsafe to live in. So if you look at the farm shantytown, for as much as whoever these UN reporters are, I couldn't tell you what they're talking about. So you look at the shantytown. Let's say they claim there are 600 homes in the shantytown, which means the government got some work to do because all that need to get fixed. So they claim there's 600 homes in the shantytown. So when I saw the footage of the shantytown and the pictures, I saw a massive generator powering what appeared to be dozens of homes through an electric panel that was set up in a box nailed to a tree, it looked like. So you say that, well, leave these people alone. Okay, leave these people alone. So what is the government's duty here? The government comes and sees you living in a shantytown, sees you have a generator illegally hooked up to all these homes. The government says, oh, they're ethnic communities. We don't want to be accused of ethnic cleansing. Let's leave them. Now, when, not if, because you know it's when, because it's happened time and time and time again, when the fire break out, right? And kills these people. What is the government's responsibility then? When the hurricane hit and crushes and drowns these people, what is the government's responsibility then? So to me, it makes sense to have a proactive attitude about not having people living in dangerous conditions when they get sick. Because they dig in latrine pits near a water table. What is the government's responsibility then? To me, it's a better approach to be proactive about making sure the shantytown isn't there and that Bahamians are living in adequately healthy and safe conditions. Now, here's where we get to the rub. What is not the government's policy towards shantytowns, but what is the government's policy, and we'll get into the financial aspect of this in another show. I promise you we'd do livable wage. What is the government's policy toward a basic standard of living for Bahamians? So we understand your policy on shantytowns. You want to eradicate them. Fine. However, 80% of the people living in the shantytowns are Bahamian or have some claim to Bahamian citizenship. So what is your policy regarding those Bahamians whose homes, which are unquestionably built illegally, you are going to destroy? Right now, all I hear is, wipe out the bloody shantytown. All right? But the same Dave, when he heard the people on Jenny Street house burned down, say, I hope the government build a house back. Now, the government didn't set them people house on fire, but he wants the government to build them house back. So, Dave, the Ellsworth Johnson to fall at fault, yes. And you want Ellsworth Johnson to destroy their homes. They're Bahamian, like the people through Jenny Street. But yet the government has no responsibility to find them housing. You see where you wrap yourself up in nonsense? When you can't think through these things, the government must give back homes for free to people whose homes burnt down that probably weren't insured, that the government had nothing to do with. But you think it's just fine for the government to go destroy somebody's home they built, because that's the only home they apparently had the means to do, and it was built illegally, no doubt, and they should not exist. But the government has no responsibility to those people. So if we know your policy towards Shantytown, then tell me this. What is your policy toward providing Bahamians with a basic standard of housing? All right? And I'm not defending the legality. I know y'all don't like the Haitians, period, and all this stuff like that. But I'm just saying, you got to think through these things. Because you told me 80% of them are Bahamian. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Vaughn.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I'm great, man. And good afternoon to everyone you have read. Let me, Vaughn, I spoke to someone over the weekend, and the topic came up about finances. Do you realize that this government, this now government, and I want everyone to understand, this government has borrowed more money than Mr. Ingram's government, and Mr. Lang is coming on next, and I think he can confirm it, and Mr. Christie's government together. You realize that?
Yeah, I realize that. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yep.
And Miami, Vaughn, it's not, I mean, okay, they explain it to me with Mr. Ingram with the roadworks. All right, we understand that. But the time Mr. Ingram was there from 1992 people to the three terms, and Mr. Christie was there twice, Bahamian people, go and do your homework. This government, the Free National Movement government led by Mr. Dr. Honorable Competent Authority, Mr. Hubert Minnis, government money. That was surprising to me when I saw those figures, Mr. McCarthy. Because I'm trying to figure out, as I ride this road and I speak to you, where is the money going? Yes, we had the hurricane. And the sad part about this, Vaughn, is that people still from 2019 are still in Grand Bahama. As I speak to you, I can send you the photos, are still living in tents. Tents, Mr. McCartney. Tents.
Yep, I know. You know how to send me the pictures.
And it's a crying shame, Vaughn. You understand what I'm saying? And the thing about it, what made me laugh, this weekend, someone was campaigning in East End. And the people them going to the people them to the tent, asking them to support them again in the tent. Where is your heart? Where is your compassion, Bahamian people who are in charge of this country?
I guess they're ordinarily.
Have a good day, Vaughn. Because sometimes I just want to say things, but because I gotta respect you like a brother, Nurka, you know. But have a good day, bro.
I appreciate it, my brother. This says. Juan, I like DeWitt, but don't let him get away with saying I'm not political anymore. It's election time. Say, Juan, I come to build on your land. Shut up, don't make no noise. Illegal are citizens. You can't build for free. Stop defending. I'm not defending anyone. I'm not defending. Where in my words, play it back for me. Where did I defend anyone's right to go build illegally? And you're going to get shot if you come try to build on my land. I might as well brief you. So where did I say that it's okay to build on land illegally? I support them removing the shanty town, you know. I asked you a simple question. If it is the government's responsibility to build back a Bahamian's house that burned down through no fault of the government, then what is the government's responsibility when they go and knock down a Bahamian's house that was built illegally? Can you square that circle for me? All right? So you're asking for both. You're asking for different things. All right? So I don't think the government should. It wouldn't be no sweat off my back. I don't think the government should build back for free someone's house that burned down. And I don't think the government should allow illegally built structures to stay there for reasons I mentioned. When the fire break out, y'all going to die. You can't stay there with illegal fire hookup, illegal electricity hookup. When you get sick, you can go to hospital, you can spread sickness. You can't stay there in them unsanitary conditions. But what is the government's responsibility, though, for a basic standard of living for a Bahamian? Because the shanty towns are bad, but I roll through Baintown every day and I see just as bad. You could go to some of these family islands and see worse. So I'm just asking. Y'all want me to just go, you know, fire on all the shanty town and all that? I don't want the shanty town either. But I think we got to think our way through this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. I thought we was assessing the FNM. Hey, what's happening, buddy? Yeah, oh, we ain't taking no break yet. Okay, go ahead.
Hello to everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed the weekend, the mothers especially, and the families and the children. Oh, they ate all the mummy chocolate and ice cream and stole a turkey. But you know, Vaughan, we've been talking about this shanty town and Haitians and illegal people from before talk show started. And what I don't understand is why are we keep talking about it and not doing anything about it?
I ain't bringing up no shanty town, you know.
I know, but it just seems to be coming back in our ears and our mouths all the time. I know, I didn't say you brought it up.
Right.
But your conversation led right back to it, and basically that's what we're talking about. And what I'm trying to find out, how can you come into my country? What we call ours now since 1973, before we were British subjects in a British country. Now we are Bahamians in 1973. We became Bahamians. But how can you come into my country illegally and build in the capital of island, New Providence, and a minister of state of immigration goes up in a helicopter and count 27 shanty towns, basically all on the southern from fringes of New Providence. They seem to pick the southern area for some reason and stay away from the inner city, and they're all over the place. We've known it from that time. We've broken them up. They build it back. They're illegal. They on illegal land. It's not their land. Whether it's they squatting on somebody's land or they on our land. But a Bahamian like myself and yourself, we have to go to a real estate company.
Yeah, but you, Sparky, we ain't getting nowhere with this, man. With all due respect, you reiterate an argument like you say you done made 1,000 times. I'm asking, what should the policy be for a basic standard living for a Bahamian in the Bahamas, since 80% of these people are in shanty towns? I'm quite clear on what the problems are with shanty towns and how Bahamians got to go to a company. Good afternoon. We got a break? Let's break. We'll be back.
King is back at Burger King Nassau. This fan favorite features 2 quarter-pound savory flame-grilled beef patties topped with thick-cut smoked bacon, 4 slices of melted American cheese, ketchup, and creamy mayonnaise, all on toasted sourdough slices. Get your sourdough sandwich as a single or a double and add ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings for a perfect way to fill your day. The flame-grilled Sourdough King is only here for a limited time and only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a 3-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to a Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. I think the conversation drifted into Shinytowns. We don't have to talk about it. I was talking about the four-year anniversary of the FNM. We could speak to Shinytowns again, too, but please don't confuse me. You've never in your entire life, and if I were different on this, I have no problem saying so. You've never in your entire life heard me once say that I'm okay with any sort of illegal community, Shantytown, otherwise, ever, not never. So don't bring that to me, right? Take that back where you came from. Now we can have a conversation, but don't try to lump me in to say something I said. And I'll say this. If there is one thing on planet Earth that Hubert Alexander Minnis is consistent about, it is that he does not want any shanty towns in the Bahamas. If it's one thing he ain't never wavered on. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Good afternoon, Warren. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, fine. I find your review of this administration for the past 4 years quite interesting. Our going on in Parliament, coupled with this pandemic situation, is depressing, one and mind-boggling.
Yeah.
You hear much speculations and insinuation on social media coupled with this pandemic situation, and our competent authority and medical team advise that we should pay them no mind. See, they're deceptive and erroneous posting. They're fake news, they say, that may be detrimental if followed. Mm. However, our medical team until now has been quite tight-lipped and only made utterances when pressed by the media and the public, particularly after the CDC advised international travelers to stay clear of the Bahamas during this time due to medical concerns, the situation, or politics. A few adjectives without incivility, one, I like to describe our politicians and some of our leaders in our society. They're hypocritical activists. They're phony philanthropists, humanitarian altruists, deceptive do-gooders, and charitable pretenders. I wonder when will it all end, and who among them will courageously address the pressing concerns in our society, our medical, social, environmental, and economical deprivation? Or did our civil servants abscond to self-inducement? I think we should ask Mother Pratt. I concur that until now, our politician has forgotten who the real servants are. One, there are few things in life that I hate more is when we moralize hypocrites. And I think, how swiftly we forget, especially during this electoral process. I trust you have a good day, and keep your wits about you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's a heady contribution there. We got to go to a break for news. We'll be back.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day, wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I think what we may have happening here, Ali, is perhaps there are hosts on this station that hold different viewpoints than mine that people want to express their disagreement or outrage or label them in a certain way, but maybe they don't. And then when I come on, they use that as an opportunity to vent whatever that frustration was. Because if, again, some people go, oh, you're supporting these UN fake human. I didn't do any of that. You're not talking about me. You only could be talking about someone else you may have heard. All right, because I disagree with the UN reporters. All right. And I certainly don't support any shantytown, but that wasn't my question. Right? I asked a question because the same Dave who said the government must build back the people's house that burned down, Dave don't know if the people set the house on fire, they self, he don't know if they had insurance, he don't know if the people own the property they build the house on, but he ain't see nobody papers, but he think they Bahamian, so to Dave, the government must build their house back. At the same time, the shantytown isn't a legal community. It should be removed, right? That or figure out who owned the land and make some accommodation to bring the houses up to code, if they're willing to do that. If not, then go, right? So, but the government and Ellsworth Johnson specifically must go tear their people's stuff down. which would leave them effectively homeless. Fair enough, right? So one set of homeless people, the government must build their house back. Another set of people, the government must do nothing with. I'm confused. So in order for me to kind of meet somewhere in the middle, what I'm interested in finding out is what should the government's responsibility be in terms of a basic human standard of living, and would that include shelter? Because we talked about the Sustainable Development Goals last week, and we're going to talk about living wage this week, hopefully as soon as tomorrow, right? And when I read the Stable Development Goals, right, none of them, not one of them, talks about guaranteeing housing, all right? They say they want sustainable cities and communities, yes. But when they talk about certain things, the commitment is firm. So the first Sustainable Development Goal is no poverty. Not some poverty. Not, 5% is good, right? No poverty. Not Jesus say to Paul, always going to be with us, so, you know, it is what it is. No poverty. That's their goal, all right? Zero hunger. Not, couple of kids go hungry, it's fine. Zero hunger. But there's nothing in here about housing. All right? Nothing in here about housing. So you do have to wonder, do we have a policy as far as Bahamians having a basic standard of living, and does that include shelter? So for instance, is there any obligation on the part of a government in order to ensure that people do not go homeless? Insofar as the government works for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and has an interest in making sure that people can reach their full human potential, then yes. Because shelter is one of the most basic human needs, and you are not going to reach your full potential if you do not have security of shelter. It's just how life works, right? But what does that mean? What does that entail? What form does that take? You see, I'd like to have a more elevated conversation as opposed to, well, the Haitian could go bail on the land. Yeah, I know, man. I live here. The Bahamian got to go. Not the Bahamians don't be doing illegal stuff, but it ain't en masse and in your face like this stuff, right? So you say we having the same conversation over and over, but yet you introduce the same elements to the conversation. Let's have a different conversation. What is the government's obligation? The government meaning the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the government meaning us. What is the Bahamian people's collective obligation to Bahamians having a basic standard of living, and do we have a policy that outlines that? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
You can hear me?
I can.
Good afternoon to your listeners all over the world, Mr. McCartney and your producer. Mr. McCartney,
yes,
I like how you put it earlier. You said, so they say, like they say, when you're talking about, you say some of them, they are citizens or have passport or something.
Well, I ain't checked nobody, so you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you ain't going on the limb to say all them people is behemoths there.
I don't know that, yeah.
So they say, they say that. But we know from your news, reporting on your news, that fraudulent documents and people being carried before the court, either justice or the peace and stuff like that. So not everyone allegedly who might be in a shantytown with a Bahamian passport really gone about it the right way. You would agree with that?
That's possible, yeah. That's possible and likely in some cases, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe it's possible. And I believe it's likely in some cases, like you say. And to answer your question, You ask about should the government build back the people when they knock it down?
Well,
you ask that?
Dave say if the people...
No, don't worry, but Dave... Okay, I see what you're saying. Right. No, I feel you now when you say Dave say it, but let me say it this way.
Right.
Yes, like Dave say, in some circumstances, the government should, could, if able to, in cases, to rebuild people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not this... Maybe this situation we're talking about, Jenny Street, or maybe not. But yes, in some cases. But the difference is, one, what you asked in the day with the shanty town, one is illegal and one is legal.
Okay.
And I don't think you need to be a rocket scientist to know this, one.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Some of these people, like we say, fraudulent documents, they're being carried before the courts, them. the government tell them, don't do this, don't do that. Warren McCartney don't agree with shanty towns. I don't agree with shanty towns. So you have to put your foot down. No, the government don't have to build no house back of the people illegal. Anything what was done illegal, and you could follow up and see, well, they gone about it the illegal way, should either be repossessed or taken away or whatsoever, Warren. Randy Craig, she more than qualified to be the Minister of Finance. I think she was the governor of the central bank before now. We don't know if some of these personalities, they don't get along, but it shouldn't be about who get along from who don't get along. So if you can bring Randy Craig back, and she could work with, because some people don't like working with the political people, you can't get them to say or do something dumb when they know their qualifications and their education know that's wrong what they said. So if you can bring Randy Craig, and you can have to move Marlon Johnson with Crazy Thompson and send them somewhere else. Randy Craig is more than qualified, since some of you all have the opinion that Crazy is out of his wits. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks. I mean, I can only form my opinion based on my experience, and when you don't want to answer no question about your ministry, it tells me that you don't really understand or know the depth of your ministry. What other conclusion am I to draw? That you're shy? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Do you remember after Hurricane Dorian, the government went down in Abaco, and they've amended in the cabinet, amended one law pertaining to the shanty towns as far as those areas.
Yeah, they did the
were deemed not livable anymore, and they were supposed to be fenced around.
They made them no-bill zones.
Yeah. Right. Okay, well, listen to me good. If that was the case almost 2 years ago, how is it now we having a problem with the same areas?
No, it ain't the same area.
Pardon me?
No, the farm is different.
No, listen to me. You remember now, the farm roads are Pigeon Pea, the mud and the sandy banks. They were the areas in Abaco.
The farm wasn't as bad, but the farm had some problems, but it was the Pigeon Pea mud and sand banks that got really ravaged. And those are still clear as far as I know. But the farm, they should have been... Not Ellsworth Johnson now.
No,
right?
I'm not speaking about Ellsworth Johnson.
But there's no way... There's no way that should have been allowed to happen. The government...
I'm not speaking about Ellsworth Johnson. I'm speaking directly about the policies.
Right, correct,
If you put policies in place, there's no way in the world... They could have finished one house in that farm area without some government knowledge.
Correct.
Okay?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? If they were actually doing their job. So one of the government ministries had fallen down on their job. That's all it is.
I agree. Or several.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, he's thinking clearly. This says, I don't believe in shantytown, but boy, knock down the house and then what? We Bahamians should stop saying we're a Christian nation because we're truly unkind. That's all I'm saying. I ain't saying keep shining. I'm just saying, what if they're Bahamian? Listen, if you are not Bahamian and we did not invite you here and you cannot afford to live in the Bahamas, you should leave. All right? That's Haitian, Armenian, Korean, German, whatever. All right? It's a process to be here. If you didn't follow that process and we ain't asked you to come and you find you can't afford to live here, you must go where you can afford to be. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Nope. Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan. How's it going, bro?
Hey, it's fine. How's everything?
No, I'm good. I wanted to chime in on your question when you asked what policies that the government may have in place in regards to housing.
Right.
I wanted to ask you something because I'm not pretty sure of it. Do you know we have any affordable housing in the Bahamas?
How you mean? Like, depends. All right, depends. Can you afford it? You know, depends.
The reason why I say that is because when I was living in the States, when it comes to apartments and searching for apartments and stuff, they would have certain apartment complexes that was listed or fall underneath the category of affordable housing. That was usually offered to people with low income.
Correct.
And you would have to produce, you know, your pay stubs and all that stuff, your qualifications, so you could show them how much money you make. But yeah, so that way, someone who's making enough money wouldn't take advantage of that and say, oh, I could just go live this place for cheap. So it's like, no, if you making a certain amount of money, you wouldn't be qualified to live in affordable housing. It's only for people who make it low income. That's the reason I asked. So I think that's something that we could bring in the future, and I think that would help eliminate some of the illegal structures coming up and stuff, because at least people who aren't making as much as the average citizen, they would at least have, you know, some place to go, roof over their head. That's built up the code.
Yeah, and that's a great way to start. There's very few places, and I don't know that anyone who's not a Bahamian would qualify for it, but there are very few apartment complexes that they have, and they're usually in disrepair. But think about it this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go with the Haitians for a second, yes? So it's many Haitians here who are illegal, correct?
Right, correct.
But there are many thousands who are here on work permits.
Right.
So why is that? Because you have a class of labor that you need. Now, what you do is you try to make sure that you understand, I have a class of labor in my country that can't afford the normal housing that Bahamians are used to. And so there should be some availability of housing for those people so we don't have illegality. Like, for instance, in Dubai, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the COVID, everyone talks about Dubai. Singapore, sorry. Everyone talks about Singapore and how, you know, perfect and everything is and everything. And Singapore came to a place of international shame because the migrants, the migrant labor class who was there legally, they discovered they were living in such poor conditions.
Because of the cheap labor.
And so Singapore was, shame is a big thing in Singapore. They won't have no ghetto, they won't have no shiny town. So they said they will do better by the migrant class. They've not done well enough by them.
And then that also comes into play with the employers who hire them. It's like, we got to start looking at y'all because...
This is what I mean by people being invited in, right? So if you own their work permit... You have a Bahamian has to sign for that work permit. So you're inviting them to come work for you. So if you invite them in...
Based on the wage that you give them, you have to make sure that the wage that you're offering them could suffice for them to be able to live in, you know...
Or you may have some accommodation for them to live in. If they come to work on a farm, because they tell me a lot of work on farms in Andros, right? Mm-hmm. You make sure there's some accommodation on the farm, and they ain't got to be palatial, but it need to be sanitary, XYZ, withstand.
Yeah, but you can't have them come in and say, you're on your own, or,
Correct, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed. You be on the same page.
Yeah. All right, Juan. Thanks, Juan.
Thank you, buddy. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Nope. Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How's it going?
Good. Do you know who, not who, but is the farm or Crown Line or its own private road?
Boy, I don't know. I want to say Crown Line.
See, that's what we don't get in the full story. Because, they just created another problem now. Because I still need to know what can happen to those people you displaced.
Right.
What are you going to do? I mean, you ain't sending them back or
you telling me 80% of them Bahamian, so...
Yeah, exactly. So what you can do?
What's next? Right.
Right? And if we could have a real conversation, the amount of homes throughout this country is illegally built, man. In the family island. They ain't got no title and no building permitting, Let's be honest. But not to say that, hey, Shantytown should be allowed. But if I'm correct, that news story I saw on television, and some of them homes they constructed, obviously Shantytown is associated with the homes built with. But whatever they can find to put up.
Yeah, I see a lot of Duroc and plywood and 2x4 and shingle.
I was trying to figure out that was what my home in one of them, Sandy Dan.
I see no bunch of blocks, but still,
But what I'm saying is you got a lot of skilled contractors who live in those particular Sandy Dan who just probably don't have access to the equipment and material needed to build the structures or we make it hard for them to get the right permits and whatever. Not saying that everyone, are not going through the right channels. But could they look at, listen, man, this is an ongoing problem. Who are these people? Are these people here on work permit? Are these people born here? Could be, is the land, if it's not Crown land, it's private land? Why not kind of stuff? Just let them look at the homes and make them pay the permit prices and do what they have to do to get them up to court.
Yeah.
Because you're still creating a problem.
And the code thing is key. And the land ownership and the getting up to code, that's key. Because what's going to happen is, if they are indeed behaving, you know, have status to be here, you can't send them nowhere. So they just can go elsewhere and do it again.
Exactly. So what happens to those people now? Because that's the public relation thing to do, because Bahamians are crying out for belief that Santi Towns is associated with illegal immigrants. Man, come on, man, that's not the case. I've been throughout this country and I've seen Bahamians living in Santi in those particular areas.
I've met right, some.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, let's govern. Let's govern the country and let's try to have an honest conversation. The perception that they paint sometimes is not the right, it's not reality, man.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, it's not reality. Okay, Juan.
Thank you, man. I agree. And I like that some of you guys are thinking through this with compassion, but not with emotion, right? So do we want Shanti? No. But if these people are Bahamian, do we want them to be homeless? I don't. It's not good for the community. It's not good for them. It's not good for the country. All right? And to the extent that you want to blast whatever talks, I give a damn what any other talk show host said. I can think through issues. Okay? And I don't need to hear the story again, but who could bill illegally into Bahamian? I don't need to hear that. I'm 45 almost. I know this. I live here. I've lived here my entire life. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How you doing?
Hey, my brother. How goes it?
Everything cool, man. Great conversation. Really happy you raised the point.
Thank you.
Great points by the last two callers. Wanted to raise from the second to the last call,
okay.
Where they were talking about when they resided in the U.S. and certain houses were earmarked as affordable housing, and you had to be in a certain bracket of income in order to qualify for those homes, right? One, maybe about 3 years ago or something like that, there was a show on your sister station with Jerome Sawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the record, where I participated with the Ministry of Health personnel. I knew he was on the show as well. And that was the very point that I brought up as it relates to the shanty towns on Abaco and throughout the country, not only on Abaco one, because we have a serious problem with compliance, but we have a bigger problem with the government taking responsibility for monitoring and enforcement of our rules and regulations and putting in place adequate resources to enforce the rules and regulations. We further have a serious problem in our country with providing adequate housing for Bahamians, as well as for persons of certain classes who are working in the country on work permits. And so when you look at it in its entirety, when you look at the big picture, the government is severely lacking in vision and in developing a comprehensive plan. It is so busy playing populist politics, burning political issues that they're not really doing anything with when you really examine it, that they're missing the big picture and how to bring real resolve to the issues that our country is facing, that if they address them adequately, it would help to position our country for further growth in the future. Because at the pinnacle of development, one is affordable labor, and that's a fact. And that fact won't change. And so if the government is going to play politics, popping up on television, on Abaco with the media, then they need to provide a comprehensive plan letting us know how they're going to provide adequate housing for the residents of Abaco, for the Bahamians who reside on Abaco, and for the merchant class that they require in order to further develop Abaco at an even faster pace than they can develop it at through private-public partnerships. And finally, one, before I go, a friend of mine, a very strong PLC, asked me to please give a shout out on your I'm a Revolution show. And so I want to big up Linda Hunt over there at the Town Center Mall post office. She's a very strong and vibrant PLP. Have a great day, Linda. God bless. Thanks, Juan.
All right. Thanks, Anton. And I agree with much of your sentiment, Anton. I think we have to start thinking through this. You know, I understand the government's policy with regard to the illegal structures. That seems crystal clear to me in terms of the actual people. I don't know that we've thought through that or considered that. Now, if you came to me and said, hey, man, they're all illegal, and they built illegal structure. Ain't not a one of them was born here, none of this, right? I'd say, oh, okay, we'll push it down and send everybody back. Problem solved. But if they ain't going nowhere, like homeboy with the bus, right? Who rolled the bus up on homeboy property in Abaco? They lock him up and deport him, right? That was the correct course of action. Ain't nobody, you ain't had nobody go, oh, where are you? No, they was like, yeah, player, you know you had to go, right? But for people who actually have a right to be here, it's difficult to walk through the process. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Dwarfs.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. You know, Mr. McCartney, I would think that our issue is that we have a very relatively small population. And we have immigrants of Haitian descent, of Haitians and Jamaicans and Cubans. You know, we have some African countries here. We have the Indians. We have the Chinese, the Philippines, you know, the Asian ones, you know. And that's our issue, I would think, other than just the housing issue we have. You know, but as pertains to the housing, man, the human rights thing is real. You know, I would always say, you know, from you have whoever you have in your country, you must house them. You know, we have a housing issue of our own. You see, we have a Ministry of Housing, which really isn't a Ministry of Housing. It's a Ministry of so-called low-cost housing ownership. And these housings are not low-cost.
Yeah.
You see, so, and that's our great problem right there. You see, what we need to do, I think, we need to be honest with ourselves and guard our electorate. So when we guard our electorate, guard our passport, no matter where you're born here, we must guard our electorate. Cut it off from 1973. You see, and we all know who the Africans are in this country, who are Bahamians, those whose our parents were slaves here. You see, and the problem is too, I'm a uptake scientist, and the problem is people like me. You know, we have many people like me whose parents were not slaves here. You know what I'm saying? And they're all up in government. They're all in the media. They're all up everywhere. They're influenced, and they have an issue. They don't have an issue with others coming in here because, they got to point the finger at themselves. This is a behemoth needs to guard their passport before it's too late.
Okay.
Before it's too late, you see, because the time is drawing now. It's going to be too late that they're not going to be able to do anything in the Haitians. Like the Dominicans was afraid of, had to be taken.
Okay. Let's take another phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm McCartney.
How's it going?
McCartney, tearing down the immigrant's home, right, or the person's who they call Bahamian, just tearing the homes down isn't solving the problem because the person's going to disperse somewhere else. You know, we're just putting a band-aid approach on a situation because we know election is near. So we know it's a hot button topic for Bahamians. And once we bring up the immigration situation and it appears that the government is doing something, you know, they would want the Bahamian people to side with them. But it's not really doing anything for the country. It's making it worse because, I mean, you have a group of persons who we know where they are. Instead, we deal with the situation totally. We just tearing down the houses and the people just dispersing and we don't know where they're going.
Correct.
And it's just like, it's almost like an election to do. That's how it feels to me. You're just doing it because of the election. And I think this situation is a government problem because the whole government ministries should have descended upon those areas and deal with the situation. If the government wants to deal with this situation, they can, you know, they can deal with this overnight. That's how they deal with the COVID-19 situation when they put all type of laws in place for Bahamians. They can do the same thing in any part of this country, but they refuse to do it. It's not the immigrant problem. It's the government problem, and the government is responsible. Each ministry is responsible because they turn a blind eye to these places when they're being constructed, and nothing has been done, and then they let it stay there for over years, and then when it gets to the point where it boils over and Bahamians start to complain. Then they move in and appears that they're trying to do something.
Right.
But everybody saw this those houses. I mean, they pass them every day. We pass Shantytown every day in this country, McCarthy.
We pass houses where Bahamians whose families have been there for generations, they live in total squalor and disrepair every day.
Exactly. So we pass these every day. Government officials pass these. The government ministers pass these. Cabinet ministers, they pass these areas. They campaign in those areas to not just pass them.
Yeah.
They campaign in those areas. They went to their churches and stuff like that. It appears that they're just finding out that there's something new. But we all know, everybody know this situation a long time ago. But now we know that election is close. So we play like we just pushing on some houses, thinking that's solving the problem. They're just making it worse.
I don't want the shanty town there, but I don't know how this ultimately solves this issue.
This cannot solve. I'm pushing on the houses and not dealing with the persons who live in those conditions, who build those houses. Nobody went before the court for building those houses illegally, right?
Right. And whose property is it? And how did they get bulldozers to cut
those
roads?
Have, right. And then BC hook up to some of those places. Who turned the power on? Who turned the power on? It's easy to find out that out.
Yeah,
how is it? I mean, like, we just playing around. We playing with the Bahamian people. Every election is the same thing. Last election was the same thing.
But the problem persists. But thanks, man. I gotta.
All right.
Appreciate you. You know, I'll take this next call and then I gotta take a break. But I felt this the other day, right? I was spelunking through the back of Kemp Road, you know. And sometimes you have taxi drivers who will take the tourists through the main Kemp Road, you know, in order to get like to the mall or whatever. And I saw this house that was in total disrepair, right? And I thought the windows were broken. The boards were falling, but it was rotting. Clearly, animals were running throughout the yard. And I was like, Jesus, they should tear this house down. And there was a man came out of the house to throw a pail of water outside and then went back in, an elderly guy, right? And my first thought was that I hope the taxi driver doesn't take these tourists through this corner. And then the second thing I felt was an immense level of shame in myself that I cared more about the perception of someone else of our country than I immediately did about someone living in that condition in my country. And so I don't know if it helped, but I circled back and I gave the guy $20. But I don't know that we just leave people to live in squalor. I don't know that that's who we want to be. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McGarden.
How's it going?
A question. Is that building indicative of anything? The building, the dilapidated building that you saw, is that indicative of anything?
It was just an old house, you know, one of those old school.
I mean, it's indicative of many things to me, but, you know, I just don't want to say too much today, but I'm just saying the hatred, I was wondering, like, where hatred does get us, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't get it. And like, once you know the global paradigm that the globalists want to set up and their idealistic, hedonistic, transhumanistic agenda, right? But I want to get to the final analysis. And I need a financial pundit, or maybe your boy who come on next, right? Because I'm afraid, you know, obviously I read the newspaper now and then. I saw the national debt. They said it's about $9.5 billion or over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is in this global overt construct, right, this global international psyops, this COVID-19, right, I was trying to find, like, what is our... I don't know. I would like to see a financial. I don't know if the government gave a financial report on the gross domestic product for like last year, and then their projections for this year. Because I need someone to say out to the public what happens when the national debt exceeds the GDP. You know what I mean? I'm afraid. You know, and we're not focusing on these things. I want to hear some solutions along these guidelines in this overt psyops, man. This is ridiculous. You know what reset means, right? They stop the world. They break every economy. We know the hidden agendas behind the urgent resources. And then everybody break off running in the rat race again. You see, now, at the end of this pandemic, countries will be emerging. Some will fare better than others. And then some will be left behind. Some will learn and some wouldn't learn. And we need to see improvements and we need to see what their agenda is. And coming out of this international global protocol pandemic, a lot of countries are becoming last. And we need to make sure we're in that. That's what I'd like to know. Have a good day, brother.
All right. You too, my brother. Let's take that break, Ali. We'll be back.
They repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Back for a limited time at Popeyes. Come in and get your rippin' chicken today. Enjoy an all-white meat chicken breast, partially cut into pull-apart strips, which are slow-marinated in a blend of Louisiana seasoning, then hand-battered into a crispy southern breading and deep-fried. Rip this special out of any Popeyes today, along with two signature sides, a biscuit and sauce for just $7.50 VAT-inclusive.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We were trying to, we start off talking about Kwesi Thompson clearly being lost, and then we were talking about assessing the FNM for 4 years. I don't know if we haven't done that today. I did get some text, which I'll read in a minute. And then we're talking about the issue that the shantytown arises about a basic standard of living for Bahamians, right? So, and that's where we kind of left off. So, you know, if you're like, hey, one, all these people are all legal, they're building them legal, oh, okay, push it down, deport them, problem solved. But my thought is, what's next? You want to take the shantytown down? Okay, and that's the best solution. If we don't know who owns the land, or the land is it's unable to be brought up to code, and these people have got no paper, or no chance of it, then okay. You know what I mean? The electricity hookup's all messed up. If there's no chance of salvaging that or regulating the thing, then yes, it must go. One more call, and then we'll deal with our text messengers. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, you're on air. You have a contribution?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. All is well.
Hello?
You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mom? Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I live in North Eleuthera. And it's a place called Spanish Wells, we all know about.
Mm-hmm.
The Asian community has been living in Spanish Wells for about 50 years. And the thing is, they've been there for 50 years working, but not living. Mm. So at the end of the day, they reside in a place east of that called Blackwoods. And there's another place over the bridge called Mariol, the southwest over the bridge, Russell Island. Mm-hmm. And Spanish Rail is the only community, I think, in the whole Northern Lutra Island and the chain of a couple islands off Northern Lutra, but don't have our brothers and sisters Asian community living on it. Because it's the way they control their island. So it's just something I was thinking about, that maybe the Amin people and the Amin government can take a pattern from it.
Let me now, go ahead.
Now, we know it's a background coming back from the Spanish Rail people because they're lighter skinned Bahamian. Mm-hmm. You know? And I don't know if it was racism or what, but they don't allow too much black folks to live there, especially the Asian community. You know?
It may have stemmed from racism, but let me ask you this. What is the state of those communities where the Haitian laborers live?
Well, some of those second and third generation, I call them Bahamians, because second and third generation stuff. Some are a little younger than me, oldest my kids. Mm-hmm. Some are oldest than me. But most of those people are productive citizens in this Northern Lutra area. They work in Harbor Island and mainland and Lutra. Some work in Spanish Rail. Most of those are productive. Now, there's a few, you know. In any society, there's a few people going to be bad apples. Now, in the Mario and the Blackwood area, it should have been a model rail. Should have been, you know, distributed all around the Bahamas, because you get close to that type of environment. I'm not saying it's all conducive to the environment they should be in, but it's not like what I'm hearing about in the farm and that other places. Most of the buildings are electricity, water, and that type of stuff, you know, basic standard living.
Right.
And like I said, most of the kids and the grandkids are now productive citizens in the Northern area.
Right.
So my thing is, we should come up with some sort of plan to put these folks who's our brothers and sisters. They only speak a different language. Of course, we had different slave masters, you know. But it should be a plan after 30, 40 years. This should have been dealt with. We only hear in this time of Lutra that, oh, when the Asian brothers and sisters who born here, they have to apply to some sort of status. And many of them are frustrated with that because they really don't get no answer.
Yeah, it takes forever.
But like the gentleman said earlier, it's the politicians. It's the politicians who laid back and was sort of relaxed on this issue. You know, they should have been more forceful on this issue. And we wouldn't have this problem we had. You know, Asians don't like too much Bahamians. Bahamians don't like too much Asians. We have to calm that down. And let's figure out a way to put our brothers and sisters in the society the sensible way, because, you know, they're not just going to disappear. You know? They're here. They have children here. They have grandkids here. So we have to do it more, you know, more humane. And let's respect one another. You know?
Yeah, I agree. And methodical. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for that contribution. I really do appreciate that. We can't take any more calls today, Ali. And, you know, this isn't the last conversation we're going to have of this nature. But I can't do the grievance politics side of it. It's not strategic and it's not productive. I could sit here and go, oh, I don't know how the Haitian could build into behavior. Yeah, I know. I feel as well that it's not fair. It is not right. But let's look at this situation from as many angles as we can and see how we can go moving forward, given that you've told me that the vast majority, 80%, are Bahamian or have status here. Says, I agree with the caller about affordable housing, but knowing us, people would still move in, invite other people, still don't pay rent, then say it's a government apartment so they can't kick us out. Else we'll tell people to vote them out. They'd have to hire management like PHA. Yeah, you'd have to have a government management agency or even a quasi-public management agency so that you don't have all this politics in it. It says also the government should also mandate any work permit seeker should show proof that they have living accommodations lined up before being allowed to book their flight. And just like pensioners have to show proof of life, permit holders have to show proof of housing each time they renew. That's actually a pretty good idea. Finally, prosecute the landowners of the shanty towns for being slumlords or repossess the land to the crown for abandonment. I like that you're thinking. It says some visitors ask specifically to see our inner city. Yeah, probably. This says, but don't you feel a sense of something of, at minimum, unease? That there can be such poverty in such close proximity to abundance and wealth and luxury that could make a king blush? Don't you feel somehow that's perverse? It says, have we forgotten that this government tried to remove the shanty towns earlier before Dorian and were stopped by court injunction? I haven't forgotten. It says, I think the responsibility falls underneath the Ministry of Works in terms of the legal structures, right, Juan, whether they're legal or not. Yes. Man, that last caller who warned Bahamians not to fall for the okie doke because it's almost election time. Gotta be Sherlock Holmes. LOL, we must be related. It says, Iwan, Dorian was a very unfortunate event for Abaco. However, Dorian rid Abaco of shantytowns and gave an opportunity for the uniting of Bahamian and Haitian cultures. We should, however, maintain our standards, and if legal residents cannot afford housing individually, they should do so jointly. Residents cannot expect the government to give out free land and housing at the expense of hard-working taxpayers. That's not fair at all. Yeah, I didn't say give anybody free land or housing. It says, all that land and bush out by Lifer Key in Albany, why don't our brothers and sisters from the south ever build up their shiny town out west or east? This says, Juan, we need to have some uncomfortable conversations and stop being emotional about everything. If we don't want people living in squalid conditions and or homeless, we need to wrap our heads around the fact that those of us who have means will have to be taxed to ensure that these undesirable conditions are significantly reduced. Says, at the end of the day, there are rules and law and order. If I build a duplex up to code on Crown land, it is mine. Would you kick out two Bahamian families? You can build it on Crown land, no. But no one, I mean, see, and maybe you've confused me. Because never once did I ever say, and you may confuse me with somebody else, I know y'all try to put what other people say on me, right? This notion that you should just be allowed to do whatever you want illegally? No, I've never, ever, ever, ever said that. So please, you know, don't lie on me at least. Says Juan, whether this is the Great Reset or not, if it is your mother, father, or child gasping for the last breath while infected with COVID, it's real to you. Yes, conglomerates have benefited tenfold from COVID. It has put all the third world countries in further debt while at the same time destroying small businesses. What is the way out? It must be a balance of the government and private financial institutions coming together with a plan. If you give people something free without any payback terms, where do you stop as what makes their dire situation different from anyone else's? For instance, why do all low-cost housing in Nassau have to be made out of blocks? We can cut these costs in half by using different materials with hurricane clips to withstand storms. Housing went from building houses for less fortunate people to rewarding party supporters with building contracts, thus driving up the cost. We can do this, but politics gets in the way of everything in this country and likewise in other third world countries. That's why our best and brightest don't come back. It's like walking a mile in quicksand. It says, that is generally the way the Haitians choose to live. 50 to 60% of them work all over the Keys, building million-dollar homes. Their thing is to live as cheap as possible in the conditions they can get away with. Well, you don't allow them to live like that. It says, I support the government's efforts to remove shantytowns. The mere fact that they created a shantytown, to your caller, Juan, that is the illegal act, point blank. No, we do not want our fellow Bahamians homeless either, but the government needs to find a solution to the housing issues and still remove the brassy shantytowns. Well, on that we can agree. It says, tell Anton the PLP had their chance to address this, too, with their lousy, non-completing project self. This says the Christian thing to do is for all leaders of the Haitian church to come together and rent or build homes for all illegal migrants who live in shantytowns. What do you think about that? I think that that's not a bad idea. Are they resourced to do so? I don't know. This says the solution is simple. Require all permit holders to be housed by the person who hire them. The legal balance to do like the rest of us. Find our own way. Problem solved. use the millions they send to Haiti to build homes for themselves, problem solved. It says, it's not our issue if they're illegal, if they're Bahamians. They must have family here. They will have to follow the law. It says the government's obligation is to provide opportunities for persons to thrive through education and skills training, et cetera. However, it does require effort on the part of citizens. It's called work. The government is for all poor, middle class, and the rich. We all contribute to the consolidated fund. Agreed. Good evening, McCartney. The government has apartment rentals for lower-income residents, which is supposed to be for a temporary basis, but the program somehow got corrupted by allowing persons to remain in those complexes for decades. Now they're run down like the shantytowns. This says, one, all real Bahamians have some family they can call on in hard times. They have no need to build shantytown homes, and if they do, then the full brunt of the law should fall on them. After all, we all pay taxes and bills to live decently. Real Bahamians don't need or have work permits in their country. Yeah, but a Bahamian, only a Bahamian. Now, help me out if I'm wrong. Only a Bahamian or a Bahamian registered company can apply for a work permit for a foreigner. Now, if that has changed, you let me know. It says, I would give this administration a C+, seeing what they've had to deal with concerning Dorian and the worldwide COVID pandemic. There's a lot of things they could have done better, but you can see where they're working. Can anyone tell us how the last administration had 4 downgrades with no Dorian and no COVID? I could tell you if we have more time. Says the government should not rebuild any citizen's home. What the government should do is provide access to affordable and quality homes. I'm with you on that one. It says people need to be realistic. The great US of A and the UK with more means than us have serious homeless issues. So with our poor financial management, how are we to accomplish this? It says people have an individual responsibility to prepare themselves to provide as best a life as they can and not depend on government to do it for them. Not saying that the government does not have some responsibility to put things in place that it will allow them to have a basic standard of living. We all have some level of responsibility for the life we create and lead. Agreed. Agreed. We're going to talk what is a living wage shortly, possibly as soon as tomorrow, barring anything else. One, do we tax remittances to defray the cost of repatriation? I'm not sure where those remittances go. I would imagine the consolidated fund. So ultimately, if you want to look at it like that, you could say it defers the cost of repatriation. If you're saying tax them more for sending money out of the country, that's one way to do it. How do you do that equitably? Do you say we're only taxing the foreigners for sending money out of the country? Do we not tax Bahamians for sending money out of the country to help out the Bahamians? It's something you got to walk through carefully. All right. Now, we didn't have a chance to get to all these text messages. Again, remember that we want to try to have as many solutions as we can when we have these discussions, as opposed to just the airing of grievances, right? We can save that for Festivus. You guys have a great day. Take care out there and be kind to each other, Bahamas.